Here we go. What's up, guys? Welcome to the sesh. Today, I got a special guest, Mo. What's going on, man?
What's going on, Josh?
Where are you coming from, bro?
Coming from Bronzeville, and then stopped at the office real quick. And
how was the drive?
The drive is the drive. I've been doing that drive since 2010.
Wow, dude.
Because when I first moved back to the Valley, you know, my family is in Bronzeville, but I worked here in McAllen. So before, I actually lived in McAllen, and I would drive to Bronzeville to see my at the time, you know, girlfriend, now wife. But then and it's my family. And then I moved back over there, so then I had to drive back this way. So I'm always driving.
Yeah, I always see you hustling around, dude, hustling around town. And that's one of the things I always admired about you, dude, is like you're one of the first people that I saw on social media, and we grew a relationship because we're kind of in the same industry. Yeah. But we do different things, but our goal is to help people get customers,
correct,
business owners. So I always noticed you and noticed what you're doing. I saw your tremendous growth. Dude, I was like, fuck, man, this guy's somebody to watch and somebody to put on my radar. So I've always kept in touch with you, man, along the years.
Thanks, man. And I think the same with you, because I, there's an old story that of the king of advertisement. Which that's another podcast.
Absolutely, man. So tell everybody what you do.
Yeah, so I own a digital marketing company. I am the founder, partner, owner of Cobalt Digital Marketing, and we specialize with SEO, search engine optimization, content creation, data management. And I like to say that I'm more data driven. Mm-hmm. And we do that to make sure that your business grows and gets leads and whatnot.
Awesome. So one of the coolest things, well, I guess this is not cool, because I was in Phoenix, Arizona.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, sorry, go for it.
And me. I do make websites, even though like my entire family thinks that that's all I do. And I don't think I've touched the website in like maybe who knows how many years, but yes, we make websites too. But
yeah, it's crazy how people have one perception of, it's like, this guy just does websites.
Yeah, like, I'm the website guy. Like, so I'm like, yeah, but I'm not, that's not the goal. It's really more about data, using the data to help you grow your business.
Awesome. Sorry. So when I went to Phoenix, Arizona a few months ago, I was at a conference about how to grow your business, and across the street was a beautiful fucking plaza. Mm-hmm. And 95% of that plaza was empty. Mm. And then I started thinking about it. I was like, dude, yeah, 10 to 12 million businesses close every single year. How does that make you feel?
I mean, it's tough, man. I think, you know, it's tough. How does it make me feel? I mean, yeah, sad, I guess, you know, because I know what the struggle and, you know, the work that's involved in just starting a business. So, you know, to close down, I've been fortunate. I've never had to close down. I mean, this is, I guess, you know, one of my many businesses, but like, I guess I did close down my first business, and I guess we could talk about that too. But yeah, you know, I think that it sucks, man. Yeah. It really does.
Yeah, yeah. And I saw that, dude. I was like, man, it kind of solidified what I was already thinking is like, because back when I used to work with Triggers back in the day, our goal was to help 100,000 businesses, and we were really aggressive, but it just didn't work. So yeah. Along the way, I kind of I went my own path, and then I started helping businesses out. But then a few years ago, it came to me again. I was like, I started getting lazy. Mm. And I was like, fuck, dude, there's so much more I can be doing with my time. And then that's when I became purpose driven. Yeah. I was like, I want to help 100,000 businesses, because I found out that 10 to 12 million businesses close every single year. And I figured out a way to bring in customers for them. So yeah. I've been pushing that like crazy. And I think it's coming from an educational and informational type of thing, which we talked about earlier. Yeah. It's like, why do businesses not use advertising or digital marketing? And we were talking about the educational aspect of it. Can you kind of touch on that?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, understanding what it is we do. I'm glad that you started with that question, because, you know, I think, you know, sometimes people don't know what we do, you and me specifically, right? Like they just think, oh, they just, you know, do marketing or advertising or websites. I think as a business owner, it's important and I think crucial that you understand and you educate yourself on the tools, the data, the customers. Like, you know, you have to have focus on something, right? And I'm gonna go back on you. I don't think you've ever been lazy, man.
Thanks, say that. Thank you, man.
I think that, you know, and that kind of happened to me at one point, where it's not that you get lazy, sometimes you just lose focus. And just realigning that focus on what you're trying to achieve, on what is it that you want from your business, right? So I think education is a big thing of being able to grow that business. I think the reason people close is because maybe they don't understand their client. They don't understand, you know, X amount of clients or leads equals to this many closes, equals to revenue, equals to profits, right? Yeah. So I think that education is very important on digital marketing, because it's changing so fast, bro. Yeah. Like, I mean, you know, just in the past 6 months, it has changed more than it changed since COVID.
Yeah, and that has a lot to do with AI, man.
Correct.
So
correct.
Touch on that, dude, because we're going to have a good conversation about this.
Oh, AI. Look, man, I used AI last night. So last night I was driving back and I was sending out some client reports. And, you know, I I think it has many uses. I think that I'm very against using AI for copyright and like creating, like just copy pasting, right?
Yeah.
So for me, for example, I take all my analytic data, my insights, and I put them all in a document, and I put my thoughts, and then I use the bot to help me organize them in the way that I taught it to, right?
Yeah. So you're training it.
I train it to do the reporting, and certain, yeah, sometimes it says words you're like, Mo never says that. but I think that AI has made everything more efficient, right? Like, and if you use it properly, one thing, for example, that I did is, when doing ads, Google ads or Facebook ads or whatnot, you know, sometimes, I would come up with some headlines, some call to actions.
Yeah.
Whereas now I can be like, hey, give me 20. Mm-hmm. And then I get 20, then I review them. I look at that. Okay, now let's use these 10 and then rewrite them and make them a little bit better. So you are more efficient with time with the bots, in my opinion.
And to touch on that too, I feel like also it's just not, you're prompting this engine. Mm-hmm. Right. So there is a level of, you have to know how to use it.
For sure. Yeah. You can't just say, hey, give me 10 ads. You know, like you have to be precise on like what it is, how you want the tone, what's the objective, what kind of messaging you want it to. And then you just fine tune. Right. So I think right now we're very in a gray area with bots because, you know, people won't, you know, we got the writer strike that's going on because of AI. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's so easy to just come up with okay. I want to touch on this. Did you hear about the Sarah Silverman thing?
Yeah, I heard about it. Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, I think that's so like fine line that someone can just take your likeness without asking and create content.
Yeah.
So it can become very tricky. But again, for me, I'm right now currently I use it more to organize my thoughts, organize my data, because I can just drop in a bunch of data and it makes it easier, right? A quick example, right? Like one time I asked it, I was like, give me 20 hashtags. But then it put them in it and I'm like, no, give me 20 hashtags without commas, with one space.
Yeah.
And then you can copy paste, you know? So you do need it to train it and prompt it. But I think that we're only scratching the surface with AI, man. I think that it's not, I mean, if you think about in 3 years where we're going to be with AI,
Yeah, one of the coolest things I did with ChatGPT is I pulled in for one of my clients. They had like over 500 reviews on Google.
Okay.
And I pulled them all into to ChatGPT and started. You can only put so many in there, mm-hmm. right? So then I asked it, what are the 5 top common things that all of these reviews say? And that became our advertising and marketing.
There you go.
So that's a hack for like people, for business owners. So let's stay on that. What are some, like, give me 3 hacks that business owners can use today that they can use for their business to advertise and market?
Oh man, just 3.
the top 3 off your head, man.
I think it's coming up with the ideas that I have found it helpful for business, right? I think that, like, you know, if for example, let's do with social media, right? I don't want it to create the post for me, but I can ask it to create a campaign. So here's one example that I used the other day. I think I was doing for a buddy of mine. He owns a restaurant, and we're kind of working together, and we were gonna give away some like a pizza party. So I was there at the bar, and you know, we were just, you know, it was after hours. I was kind of just coming up with ideas. So I was like, let me try the bot. So I told the bot, give me a 1 month campaign about this giveaway with this. This is the things that we're giving away. Here's the instructions of what they need to do, and give me a post idea, and like basically give me the whole campaign.
Right.
It did it.
Yeah.
So it every week one, here's what you do. Here's the type of picture that you can use. Week two, here's what you do. Here's the type of picture you can use. And so on. And then I just took that and then I sat down with the owner and we kind of brainstormed it. made it our own.
Yeah.
Scheduled everything that day. So a 1 month campaign and contest was created, scheduled, edited, graphics done.
Damn.
And I didn't have to worry about it.
Well, how long did it take you?
Maybe an hour. You know, maybe
that is the power.
Yeah. So that is how business owners can use it, is by helping organize the thoughts of campaigns.
Yeah.
The second one is just just proofreading and just helping with thoughts on content. Right. Again, I am very against copying content from AI. I don't think you should do it. And in my opinion, Google's gonna penalize you. There's no proof of that, but I think now with Microsoft doing the thing is $30 for their bot, they're gonna start charging. Google has their own. Eventually, they're gonna make it to where if you have a copy pasted article, they're gonna penalize you on either Microsoft or Google. That's what I think.
Yeah, but I mean, you come from it. You're coming at it from an ethical type of. A viewpoint, because you've been in it for so long. This is your specialty, so you can kind of foresee that.
Yeah, I mean, I see that. I mean, I've worked SEO since I was 21. Yeah. I'm 40 now. So I think that on the SEO side, that Google can get very tricky and try to, there's so many things that they do to try to limit people or creators, to keep them in line, and so they're not gaming the system and whatnot. And I guess so that's for content. I mean, just organizing thoughts. So, for example, you could do something like, let's say there's an article about, how to best promote your burger, right? And you can ask it to summarize that article, and then you get some idea. Then you can write your own, create different posts from that summary. It's also really the third. So that's the second, content. The third is just note taking, man. That is probably where I use it the most. So on my meetings, like my staff meetings, client meetings, I literally just put up my laptop and just start typing notes, like just chicken scratch, right?
Yeah.
And then I take that and I tell ChatGPT, hey, make this into a good note system
Something legible.
Understand. And then it puts it gets it in categories. It summarizes it the way, and it takes my thoughts that I just kind of wrote all over the place, and then I can give that to my team, and they're able to execute whatever needs to be done.
Yeah.
So I think that those would be my three things.
And that's very smart, dude, because it's interesting to see how people are using it. Like, I use it more I'm writing articles, right? So I'm pushing out content that would help business owners. But also at the end of the day, I'm using it for research, man. Like the research aspect of it, dude, like you have a humanities expert in your pocket.
Yeah.
At any time, you can call upon it and just have a conversation, and you can have an intellectual conversation. I think that people really need to understand is that ChatGPT is about the prompts.
Mm-hmm.
So touch on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's prompts and just being able to sort through a lot of data very quickly, right? I mean, there's plugins for it too that now you can pull out, like you can actually give it a URL. And it can read the article.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And then it can spit out whatever you ask for.
Have you used Yabble yet?
Yeah, no. What is that?
Yabble creates customer insights off of anything, dude. It creates customer surveys, so you get to know your customer better. Ooh, that you're targeting.
No, I haven't used that.
It's awesome, man. I use it for everything now.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. So I think that just being able to understand the prompts and the queries that you're going to be, like what you're asking for and what is it that you want from the bot, it's important. And I think that that's going to differentiate the people that just use it like for whatever,
yeah,
and the people that actually use it for its full potential. So,
yeah. Do you feel like AI is going to replace a lot of jobs?
I mean, I think that that's just a natural thing of, whenever a new technology comes around, right? Like, whenever something new comes and they're like, oh, that's going to take all the jobs, I mean, you look at like fast food and how, I don't know, and I bring that up because we were talking about how the robots are now can take your order.
Yeah.
And eventually that's all going to be automated. You're going to be able to go to McDonald's and order everything from your phone or from the screen. And then a machine's just spitting thing out because there's a process, and then you get your order, and now, can a real human do that? Yeah. Is it more efficient for a bot to do it? Yeah. But then you still need humans to be making sure that there's process, there's QA, that the meat is coming out right, that these things are happening. So I don't know. I don't have the answer for that. I mean, I think that that's the big thing with the writer's strike, right? Because I do feel that, they wouldn't be doing that if those big companies didn't already have some thought that, maybe we can replace some of these jobs.
Yeah.
because if that was not the case, then I think this they would have been over. But you know, when they're talking about generating like a copy of a person's, you know, performance, and then having that and being able to recreate whatever you want from just a little 5 minute crazy, clip, man. I mean, that's I don't have an answer. I hope that it doesn't replace everyone, but I think that the way you move forward is by finding the ways that you can make the job efficient and still be able to have some, I mean, someone work that job. But I don't know, man. I mean, if someone can write a piece of content and I know for sure that it's like not detectable by we think a human wrote it.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting thing, man, because I mean, they're already talking about like these big Hollywood movies that you'll be able to just to be able to text to picture, text to video. Well,
have you seen the Secret Invasion?
No, I have not.
So that the opening credit, it was done by AI.
Oh,
was
really?
It was a big issue. So it's actually like an animation, and the company that did that, that they've done other intros, like I think they did a bunch of Marvel ones, if they've done some other Disney ones, and this specific one, because of the content of the show, which is I don't know how nerdy you are on Marvel, but
not too much. Okay, man.
Well it's about these guys that they can they're like chameleons, right? And they could change appearance. So the intro, it's very animated and it's kind of shifting into like for human to like this alien thing, and that was all done via AI. Obviously the company use like they still hired a company with people, and those people use the AI because they wanted that feel, and I think in a sense they almost wanted to people to know that it was done by AI because of the show, but now there's a lot of backlash because like you see people are gonna start using AI. Like why do I need to hire a big production company if you can get someone to just recreate that intro.
Yeah, and you're right, dude, because that's very appealing to somebody like me because I no longer have to go out and film.
Yeah.
Like, it literally text to video, it becomes my ads. And if they convert, it doesn't matter. I get it, like, why it's super appealing. And there's twice that I've gotten that, like, aha moment from ChatGPT. This is the weirdest thing. I got that dopamine hit so hard. I typed it in, and I got exactly what I wanted, and I felt that dopamine hit. I was like, fuck, dude, this is strong.
I agree, man. Like
it's dangerously strong, man.
I mean, I think I did that happened. I'm trying to remember, like, but yeah, there was one time where I just had I needed to write like a little script for like a voiceover, and I said, hey, write me a voiceover for this and this and this, and it did it, and I was like, whoa,
yeah,
like,
dude, it's crazy.
Better than I could have written it.
Yeah.
So
it's an interesting thing, man, because it is. I think the people that learn AI and implement it are going to take over the jobs from the regular people that are.
Yeah, I think that's where it's going, man. I mean, I think that this writer's strike would have ended if there was not something in the works already to figure out how to replace people, you know, which is so bad to say and think about. But yeah, that's where we're at.
Yeah, let's talk about how you grew your business, dude, because I am in the same thing right now. I'm in growth mode. So I'm removing myself from certain positions in my business to be able to get other people on and manage that. So can you kind of coach me how you do it?
That's a tough question, huh? I guess
just give me the three top things, man.
Give me the secret. Yeah, man. I mean, I think, you know, it's you know, experience. I mean, I've been doing this since I was 20, man. I mean, my first business was when I was, I was 21.
Yeah.
So I'll give you like a brief on that. But I was in the military. I served in the United States Navy for 4 years. While I was in the Navy, my last 6 months in the Navy, I was like, what am I going to do, right? So I used to work on radar, F-18 radars.
Okay.
I fixed all the antenna, the radar exciter, the power supply, and the transmitter.
Can you still do that if you had it in front of you?
So, I mean, yes and no. So the way that it... You know what? I'm going to talk about this because this is probably the first time I talked about it in a long time. But basically, it's a huge machine, like from that end, probably all the way to the end where the
green screen. Dude.
So that's the machine that tests all this equipment. It was called the CAS system. There was an older one called the RSTS system, and that one, I didn't use that one. I used a newer one. And basically, that you took the transmitter, right? And it was like that big, and then you pop it in, and then you connect all these things, and it replicates the jet. Mm-hmm. And then it tells you what's wrong with it. My job, I wasn't like super deep level. So like basically they're all circuit cards. And then it tells you what circuit card's wrong. You take the circuit card out and you kind of, you know, figure it out. You know, yeah. And basically my training was an electrical engineer trained 4-year course in 2 years. So, wow. I went to school for 2 years in the Navy for that. Can I do that again? Probably not, because I said, but I can fix electronics, right? Like I know my way around a circuit board. So that was my plan. I was like, I'm going to stick to computers. I'm going to be IT. I started school in the military. I went to West Hills College for IT, and, fixing computers wasn't what I wanted it to do, man. So I was like, you know what, man? This is not it. So then a friend of mine told me about websites. I think that's how it stuck that I make websites, yeah. Right? He's like, dude, you can make some Flash websites. You remember Flash?
Yeah, dude.
Micromedia Flash or Adobe Flash eventually. So that's how it started, man. And my, you know, right before I got out, I kind of came up with a plan. And, you know, I went downtown there in California in Lemoore, and I just started knocking on businesses. And my first client was a Mexicano a bridal place in downtown of a nowhere city in California. They paid me $500 a month to make them a website and to just kind of help them market like online.
That's where it all started.
And those $500 when I got out, I kept the client for a while. Came back to Brownsville and I opened up a little business there in Alton Glor, and I was there for about 2 years. So that's why I bring it back to the closing down. It was good for 2 years because nobody was doing websites and whatnot. But then I had to close down, you know, because I think the technology wasn't, especially here in the Valley, people still, I mean, they're like, websites, why do I need a website? Right, yeah. You know? So because of that, that's where, I stopped it and I went to Austin, and that's where I kind of worked for a lot of startups over there. One in particular one was a one that did SEO. And that's how I got into SEO,
gotcha.
Into like really like how do you do a search engine optimization. And I did that for a while. And then when I moved back to McAllen in 2010, that's when I kind of started just doing it down here. And I started Cobalt 7 years ago. Wow. So I gave you all that context because I think if I didn't go through all that, this Cobalt would not be where it's at right now. Right. That's what I'm trying to say.
The foundational skills.
Yeah, right? You know, I made a lot of errors in the beginning, and I think that's fine for business owners, entrepreneurs. I think you need to understand and go through those events, those whether it's accounting or, you know, customer relationships or, you know, employees, how do I handling employees, all these things that, you know, I think you and I now are like, oh, okay. But when we first start, we don't know.
Yeah, because you wear a lot of hats as an entrepreneur.
Exactly, right? So with Cobalt, I think it's been a good journey where we just stick to what we know, you know. And we're talking off before we started, but about how I'm kind of going back to what I actually do, which is SEO and yeah. Digital marketing as a whole, right?
Yeah.
If you try to venture into, oh, here's the new AI thing, right? Let me go sell that or social media. Now we got Threads. Let me go try to get, I think that's just setting yourself up for failure. If you like stick to what you know, do it well, you know, and do it consistently, you know? And I think if you do those things, there's your three things.
Yeah.
you can grow, you know? And when you try to like spread yourself to thin, I think that's when you set up for failure. And I think the one biggest thing that I've learned is learning how to say no, man. I think that's the hardest for you and me, right? I want to help everybody. I want to do everything. But the moment you tell someone, like, I am going to help you with XYZ, and because maybe there's not, like it's a friend, or maybe it's someone that you're just trying to help, and the money's not there, or whatever X reason, and then you don't complete that, or you don't, you know, then you look bad, and that's how it starts trickling back down because you start getting caught up. I think I had a hard time with that. Yeah. I think that, you know, anybody that's seen this and I work with, you know, I do think that sometimes I try to do too much.
Yeah.
And I think you just set yourself up for failure there, man.
And you're right, dude, because what it's known as is shiny object syndrome. Since we think we've had successes in the past, we think we can possibly do good in every single thing. But that's not the thing, dude. It's like you literally have to focus on one thing,
exactly.
Get fucking good at it, and then just stay your damn course, dude. Yeah,
it's great. And then things will come, you know, and I think that, you know, it, you know, and also I never try to sell. I know that sounds so counterintuitive, but, you know, I do think that in our business, it's easy to sell the dream.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm gonna give you everything. And I try not to do that because, you know, you never know.
How do you set expectations? Like when you talk to a client, mm-hmm. how are those expectations met? Like,
yeah. So I think with us, it's just because, you know, so what we sell is we sell the cobalt formula, right? Our trademark.
And I've always loved that, dude. It's like you have something that, like, yeah, what it the is, hell it is that? It, is it actually, just works.
It is actually trademarked. The cobalt formula is basically a process. It, you know, people say it's a package or, you know, but at the end of the day, it's a process based on your goals and your budget, right? So, and that process involves any technology available at our disposal. So, for example, if you're a small business and you don't have the budget to do Google Ads and Facebook Ads, well, at least let's start you with Google My Business. Mm-hmm. Let's get you a website. Maybe not a WordPress because you're not there yet, but you can start. You need something.
Yeah.
You know, let's get you your social media set up, and let's just post, you know, at least once a week. You know, yeah. Something. Because then, you know, I hate going to Facebook business profiles and they haven't posted in like months, years, yeah. you know, weeks. Okay, fine. You got busy, but, you know, try to have that consistency, you know, so that's one aspect, you know, whereas another business might have a big budget and they want to do it all. So now how do we use all these tools and technologies and platforms to get you to your goals? So that's what it is, you know, like that's what I sell. Like, I sell you like a plan, a strategy, a process.
Yeah.
I'm not selling you posts or content or SEO, right? SEO is part of the formula, and I'm gonna, you know, give you SEO based on what I think is best for you. And that's how I say, you know, this is, you know, you're buying my expertise. You're buying what I'm telling you I think is gonna work.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes clients that don't understand that, we're talking about that. If you don't understand that, if you're not educated on how SEO or what it, you know, some people don't even know what SEO is, you know?
Because you're right, dude, because I have some people that come to me as like, I want SEO. I was like, do you know what it is? I have no idea. But I want to be in the number one space. I was like, okay, well, it goes a little bit deeper than that.
Well, even that right there, that comment I get a lot. And I mean, you're talking about, you know, there's some clients that I've had that, you know, they've had their domain for like 15 years and they're number one. And then you buy a new domain and you expect to be number one.
Yeah.
That means you have to go, like, you have to catch up to 15 years of someone that has optimized, has put content, someone like you.
Yeah.
You have so much content out there.
Yeah. You Google my name, I'm everywhere.
So if I wanted to like catch up to you on content, it's going to take a lot of work and time, right?
Yeah.
It's the same in SEO. Like, it's just that you don't see the work on SEO because it's a lot of link building, a lot of back end stuff, you know, making sure that, you know, you're out there in different profiles, your address is correct, all these things that, you know, just need to be aligned so that Google can see, okay, well, this is a legit business and it's talking about XYZ. So let's show it to the user because the user wants this person, this business. So that's basically what the cobalt formula is finding a way to use whatever's available. Now it's AI. So yes, I implement AI into my process, but that doesn't mean I'm selling you AI, right? It doesn't mean that, you know, I'm selling you a bot, you know, it just means that I'm going to find the best way to use these technologies to better your business growth, your digital profile. So.
And I think that's one of the important things that people need to understand is like, our goal is to be able to make their business stand out in mm-hmm. front of everybody with the best quality, the best content, the best best everything for their digital image.
Correct.
So we're giving them a digital image makeover. And also at the same time, we're managing their reputation online.
Yes.
Can you kind of touch on that? Because I think this is something that a lot of business owners don't know. Like, if you're going out there and you're posting yourself on social media, somebody's going to say something. Somebody's going to say something bad at some point. And our job is to be able to figure that out and keep their image clean. Because please touch on it.
No, you're correct. No, you got me thinking. I actually got a call this morning from somebody else that there was a post on one of my personal things about a company, and somebody commented, and I answered. I'm like, hey, you know, and then I didn't respond back to like address, even though I did address the issue like in person, but because I didn't do it online, it looks bad. And it, you know, it just takes that one person, just that one person to say that. And then they're going to tell their friends and they're like, hey, you know, this company's bad or this guy's bad, whatever. So I do think that's very important. Like, you know, understanding where, you know, being on the lookout of things like that, you know, because even though it's just that one person, and it happens a lot in you know, with social media,
right? And it's also worse for the business owner because they see it and they get hurt by it. It's like, whoa, yes. What's going on here, dude? So their brain starts thinking. Our job is like, whoa, let's just mitigate it. Let's figure it out.
Yeah.
Take it off and just go fix the problem.
Yes.
But they stay with that.
Yep. And so I think that reputation, reviews, man, has become... So when SEO started, like, yes, it was all about who's number one, right? Like, this is 20 years ago, right? 15 years ago. It was different to optimize then and whatnot. Then you got Google creating ads, and then you got them creating, like, different, you know, the map listing. So the organic started kind of going down. So then over the years, people have, you know, people go to reviews. They don't Google... Like, if I need, sunglasses, right? Like, they're going to look for sunglass spot, but then they're going to find the and then they're going to Google that company and see what other people are saying. So I do think that every aspect of the digital
is that world, the process that you've been seeing lately?
Yes, yeah. You know, so people now it's even different, right? Now people check the name, they check reviews, they check your social.
Yeah.
You know, I've had someone tell me, like, oh, I Googled you, you know, like, you know, right before I came to a meeting. So you want to make sure all that's kind of, you know, nice and tidy. So I think it's very important that you have somebody watching that if you don't have the time to do it.
So. Yeah. You know, and you're absolutely right, dude, because one thing that slips through the cracks can literally have a devastating effect, just trickle down. Let's touch on AI again, dude, because that's fascinating to me, man. Where do you see this happening in 3 years? Like, what's happening here specifically in the Rio Grande Valley? Like, where do you see AI touching us in the next 3 to 5 years?
That's such a loaded question, but I'm gonna keep it to my industry, right, or our industry. I think for AI for our industry, again, it could be beneficial or not. But I envision like an application. So like here's a user that's pretty tech friendly, and I think that's where it's also gonna balance, right? The tech friendly people and the not so tech friendly. But like someone that's tech friendly and they have a business, they go, here's this website to make your own website. Now the AI can make the website.
Yeah.
So you literally tell it, well, here are my colors, here's my logo, here's what I'm selling, and then I want 4 pages, and here's like, again, back to what you were saying, it's the prompts. You still need to do that.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just gonna automatically appear.
Yeah.
So that now you got the website, but now you can tell the AI, okay, now share my website, and the AI is going to be able to just log into your Facebook, into your social, create a post from your own words or from whatever you tell it, and then say, well, do something similar every day for the next 2 months.
Yeah.
So I think that's where it's going, where you can automate everything. Now, you still need manpower to automate all that. You know, and I think that's where I see myself, like, you know, people are, I mean...
Well, do you see some of your staff changing roles, or are you going to be hiring different people for?
Yeah, I think so. And roles have changed over the years. You know, I used to hire a lot of, if you go back all the way, like when I worked at some startups, you know, computer science people. Like now, computer science people, I haven't hired a computer science student in a long time. And then I kind of switched over to kind of like PR and communications majors. Mm-hmm. So I started hiring some of them. And now, you know, because there are some programs like at UTRGV and obviously at all the bigger colleges, like social media and digital marketing, there's actual marketing like classes for that. Now I can take marketing, because before I wouldn't take marketing students because they were like, you know, old school, like they wouldn't train them. But over the years, you know, I think that, you know, the students that are coming out are more versed, and eventually, like, they're gonna know AI, and so I guess to answer your question is, like, yes, I think the roles are gonna change. I think that you're gonna just need competent people that understand the technologies and are able to, you know, the skill sets are gonna be different, man.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know how the schools are gonna adapt to that. That if 100% I can guarantee. I don't know how they're gonna adapt to that, because. How do you teach that?
Yeah.
You know, like,
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, dude. I want to talk about skills. So I feel like sales is one of the top skills that any entrepreneur needs to have.
Mm-hmm.
What are the top 3 skills that you think any entrepreneur needs to have?
communication skills, I think being able to communicate is the number one priority, right? Like with clients, with people that you work with your tasks, with communicating the what you're trying to achieve, you know, and being able to execute it is important. Writing, I mean, I guess that goes back to communicating, but just being able to write, you know, because the AI is going to write a lot of stuff for you. Are you able to take that and make it your own? You know, are you able to create a story from data that we're giving, you know? And I think that, the creative skill, right? Like, are you able to be creative and you know, I'm not a creative guy. I don't think I am. Like, what I mean by that in the graphic sense, right? Like I can look at a website and I could tell you what I need done. But to me, physically, to company do that, that's not. And I've never been that, right? Which again makes me laugh whenever people say you make websites. because I think it takes a special creative eye to look at something and be like, like come up with a logo with a pizza and sunglasses and a phone. And use red, white, and green.
Yeah.
Like, and then you have to come up with something, right? My skill is more like I look at that result and I can see if that's going to resonate with the customer that we're trying to get.
I got you.
Whereas creating that is so I do think being a creative is important. To come to work for digital marketing because that's how you could get started in posting or social media posts or ads or whatever.
Yeah.
So I guess those are the communication, verbal skills, writing skills, and creative skills.
Let's talk about the sales process. So my sales process is pretty simple. When I get a lead in, I try to get them off and get their phone number, and I jump on the phone with them. I tell them everything that I can offer awareness, engagement, leads directly in your inbox, and I guarantee it. So the guarantee has been helping me close more deals than I ever have before, dude. And it's an interesting thing because if I hadn't done this for so long, I would have never got to that point where I'm comfortable with saying that. But now I know that I can guarantee results. So the close rate has been phenomenal for me, dude. What does your sales process look like specifically, dude?
Oh, man, we're gonna
give it to everybody, bro.
No, we're gonna agree to disagree here. Okay. What you just said is totally not what I do.
Okay.
Can we cuss in here?
Absolutely, bro.
I don't guarantee shit. The only thing I guarantee you is that I'm gonna work hard. That's it. I don't guarantee leads. I don't guarantee results. I know that's counterintuitive, but because I think it's a little different because I think with me is I am at the mercy of Google. You know, I am at the mercy. If tomorrow
it's a longer process.
Correct. And you don't have no control. I mean, if tomorrow Google decides to completely change the algorithm, you know, and I guaranteed you that you're going to be number one.
Yeah,
I'm screwed. I just set myself up for failure. So I've learned over the years not to guarantee anything on what I do. So like I said, I try not to sell. What I do is I tell you what I know and what I got, you know, and it's up to you to make that decision if you want to come work with me or not.
Yeah.
So I think that's a different approach, right? And I do work with a lot of attorneys, right? And I think with attorneys, you know, they're results driven. So you're going to say, well, how are you selling leads? Well, you know, because I show, you know, here's what I've done, you know? I like to think about it as, you know, and someone told me this one time, one of my old CEOs, but, you know, I like to think of myself like, you know, I have a lottery ticket here, you know, and I'm here and I want to give you this lottery ticket, you know, but, you know, just because I say that this is a winning lottery ticket doesn't, like, you don't know if it is or not.
Right, yeah.
You know, you have to trust me. And then I give it to you, and then we both win, right? And I think that's how I try to say, right? Like I have this experience, and I have this business, and you know this reputation of what I've been, you know, over the years accumulated. And I think that I'm going to be I can help your business. I think that
you're only beneficial to it.
Correct. But at the end of the day, it's up to you to kind of, you know, make that choice, right?
Yeah.
And I think with SEO, it's also different because. It works both ways, right? Like if I don't communicate with the client, it's not going to work, you know? And I think with, you know, understanding what the goals are of the client and what they want and you know, being able to show them, okay, well, hey, this month we had a bad month. Well, why? Well, because XYZ.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's because then you start kind of sewing it. And that's going to go back to that's why I kind of gave you that context of what I did in the military. You know, I was a troubleshooter,
yeah.
You know, and I got to troubleshoot. So if there's a, like, if there's something negative that happened, we need to find out why so that we know what to do next and it doesn't happen again.
Yes, you're always optimizing.
Correct. Yeah. So I think that's my sales approach. It's more, I look at a person, like obviously if, you know, either I'm cold calling or if it's an inbound lead, you know, I look at what that business is and if I can help them.
Yeah.
And if I can, then we try it. Now, there's been times where, look, again, it's hard for me to say no, and I just want to help, and I want to work with a business, and, you know, and yeah, they want leads and leads, and they didn't understand the process, and it didn't work because, yeah, you know, they didn't understand how this process works, yeah, you know. You know, yes, you can go and buy leads anywhere. I mean, honestly, like, you can. Like, there are other companies and services that, you know, you can buy leads, yeah. You know, so I think with my approach is more methodical. Yeah, it's just more methodical. Like, it's just like, there's like, we need to make sure that we're using the platforms for what you need them for, and having consistency and have systems and processes in check. And I think that's what I've been trying to build over the past 7 years with Cobalt.
Yeah. And I think one of the most important things is the consistency part, because a lot of business owners get busy and they're doing something, they're focusing on their business. Mm-hmm. But our goal as digital marketers is to be able to create the consistent content going out all the time. And I think that alone is value-based. Yeah. Like, if you're looking at it from a point where it's saving now the business owner that can take away all that time now that we were posting and pushing the content and creating the content, mm-hmm, and scheduling and stuff like this, it's giving them their time back to make more money.
Correct.
And I think that's one of the most important things is the objections that from business owners. What are the most common objections that you get?
Man, I guess, well, yeah, I mean, we all want results quick, man. I mean, I think that's just, you know, if I didn't have Cobalt and I was running, you know, a retail business, right? For example, you want to sell your product
as
right?
fast as possible,
as fast as possible to get that cash flow and whatnot. And I think on those type of cases, I mean, I learned myself, like my product, my service is not good for retail.
Yeah.
And I'll say that out loud now, even though I have some of those, but
you're absolutely right, dude, because it took me forever to figure out, like, these are the businesses that I can serve.
Correct.
And these just don't work.
It doesn't work because, you know, it's, you know, having a store, you have to know how to manage it. You know, you have certain clientele that you need to, you know, keep happy and certain things. And with my approach, it's more of like, you know, I'm finding people to just get interested in your business, yeah, right? So I think, and that, you know, that's one of the things that people or clients want, right? Leads right away. They want to rank right away.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it just depends on what type of business you are and if what I'm going to do is going to help you. And I do think that as a business owner, you need to ask yourself that question too, right? Like, what is it that I want from working with me, right? Or yeah, working with you. Like, do I want him to just show me off and show my brand? Do I want him to make me sales? Okay, well, let me look at how what he's done in other, you know, like, have you brought sales? Have you increased reach or whatever? So I think it just depends, man. It's hard to generalize all those because you have too many variables.
Yeah.
That
let's unpack that a little bit, okay, more then, man, because one of the things that I found the most intriguing is our goal is to be able to bring the lead in, but that we're facilitating the lead to the client. So once it gets there, the client is on the hook now to close it. I feel so.
I
feel like they are the ones that know so much about their business more than anyone else.
Correct.
They're going to sell it the best. So when I have those conversations with business owners, like, I'm here to facilitate the lead. I get them interested in your product. I bring them in the door. Your job is to close them. That's the expectation that I set with them every single time. And most of them are fine with it. But then also it goes back to they're busy.
Yeah. Well, but also that conversation, I'm glad you're saying that because, yeah, I mean, I think that conversation needs to happen before you even sign a contract or anything, right? Yeah. Like, understanding that is your intake process, you know, I'm going to kind of switch it to with the attorneys, right? With attorneys, is very, and I worked with attorneys, you know, for years. I mean, that's, like I said, when I went to Austin, that's where I kind of learned SEO, yeah, and I loved it and fell in love with it. And since then, like, I think my expertise is lawyer marketing and SEO, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, so yeah, I could give a lawyer a bunch of leads, but then What do you do with those leads? What's your intake process after? Like, do you have a system to have someone of your staff call them back to get the info to find out if it's a real case or not? And then do you give me that info? Because if let's say you do immigration, but I just gave you a bunch of DWI cases, but you don't tell me because you told me you wanted some you wanted everything.
Yeah.
But now you're getting all these calls and I'm recording the calls and I'm listening that you're turning people away. And then you're telling me that I didn't do my job. That's different.
Yeah.
You know, that's where that disconnect happens. So I think having the conversation before of how your intake process is, yes, it's only going to help both of you, you know, both of us. I think it is up to the business to close their leads. We are tools for them to get the leads, but then also how is your in, and now if you don't have one, I want to help you create that, but it's not, I cannot do that for you.
Yeah. They're different things, man. Yeah. Like if we're selling for them while bringing them in the leads, like shit, we're giving them a golden ticket.
Correct.
We can sell them on the products, mm-hmm. but then that deserves a higher price and a higher income. And I think the thing that people don't understand is that the sales and the marketing are two complete different things. There's a lot of hands and different things that make the business flow.
Well, that golden ticket thing that you just said, I think that's kind of what I was trying to say with my winning lotto thing. Like at the end of the day, it still doesn't matter if I have the winning ticket. Like if you don't know what to do with that winning ticket, then what's the point?
Yeah.
If you got I won, but you don't know how much, like, or where to cash it in, or what to do with the money that you just cashed in, you're just gonna waste it and blow it.
Yeah.
So I think that was what I was trying to do with my analogy, right? Like when working with me, it's like I give you, here's what I got and here's what I do. How can we use it to better, you know, help you and to, you know, make you grow.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Awesome, dude. Well, shit, man. I appreciate your time coming on the podcast. Dude, let everybody know where they can find you, man, and use your services.
You can go to Cobalt Digital Marketing. Just Google us. Cobalt.digital is our main site. Anywhere on social media, Mauricio Pina, I guess they can find me. So.
Awesome, man. All right, guys. We'll see you on the next session. Peace.